It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, technical editor Kira Pace and educator Lori Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning, getting ready for Beta Breakers tomorrow. I know I'm not, but if you are, good luck with that. But since this is Saturday and not Sunday, we do hope you can join us over the course of the hour, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are looking for your participation. We would love to hear from you. All you do is have to call two different numbers, or one at a time, 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We would love it if you called early in the show, because that way we get the full import of your question and get the chance to talk to you a little bit. So please give us a call as soon as you can. We do not want to miss your call. You can also email us if you are shy or can't get through. So we'll presume you're shy. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. But please call. Please try calling first, because we do enjoy talking to you. 415-841-4134 or toll free, 866-798-8255. We cover the waterfront as far as questions goes, so you can ask us almost anything. We kind of stay away from basically rock and roll and sports, but everything else is pretty much open. And I also want to remind you, we are in live stream at kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast, and some do, that will be available in a reasonable amount of time after our show today at kalw.org and many other places as well. But start with KALW. That would be great. All right. I think all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace isn't dialing it in, but she hopes that in a sense you will.
Along with Dana Rodriguez, Kira Pace, and Joanne Marr, Lori Fisher is pleased to announce that this moment, or that at this moment, at this moment, all of us are in full centipede regalia, perched at the starting line at Main and Howard, ready for the start of Beta Breakers tomorrow at 8 a.m. So see you there.
We're going to be there for 24 hours, so see us there. And most importantly, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will now deliver the Minds Over Matter commencement address. The future lies before you. Follow your dreams. As you go out into the world, strive to make a difference.
Thank you. I think everybody took that to their heart. And
I think so.
I like the lack of kitchen references myself.
he's going his own way on this one. Yeah,
we're all on this journey together. Remember that. Yeah. All right. All that being said, and now that you've been properly inspired, let's begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. This is probably going to be hard, but I'm going to run it anyway. I'm going to give you the name of a fictional television show within a real television show. You tell me the title of the real television show. This is going to be hard because these are all shows from, these are more recent shows for the most part. So I've got eight, and here they are. The first
shows within shows.
Shows within shows.
All pretty recent, which means less than the last 40 years.
Yes.
When you say recent, are some of them on now?
Yes, I think so. I think at least one. Hmm. Okay. So the first one is All My Circuits. All My Circuits. It's like All My Children, but with circuits. The second one, there are a few of them. We'll do looking for LaToya. Looking for LaToya. The third one, mock trial with Jay Reinhold. Mock trial with Jay Reinhold. Number four is wake up, San Francisco. Wake up, San Francisco. Number five is invitation to love. Invitation to love. The sixth one is Prince O Palates. So that's Prince and then O apostrophe Palates. Number seven is Jerry. Just Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y. And the last is Las Días y las Noches de Monseñor Martínez. Las Días y las Noches de Monseñor Martínez. So again, all my circuits, looking for LaToya, mock trial with Jay Reinhold, wake up San Francisco, invitation to love, Prince O Palates, Jerry, and Las Días y las Noches de Monseñor Martínez.
I don't watch nearly enough TV. I'm guessing that one is Bob's Burgers because that's the Utah of Kira's TV shows. But
no.
No Bob's. Okay. Nope. And I wouldn't know which one applied to. I don't know any of them, Dana. I give my seven guesses to you.
I doubt whether I will do this justice. Let's see. Give me 1 second. I wrote down a couple things. Okay. So, well, the first one, I believe, All My Circuits is Futurama.
Yes. That is correct. All My Circuits is the soap opera on Futurama during Calculon.
And the other one, Good Morning San Francisco is Full House, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Wake up San Francisco. Full House.
I think that Danny Tanner is a weatherman on that or some such thing.
Something like that.
We were not an ABC family, so I don't know.
Okay. So, yes, that's as far as I can go.
Okay.
So give the other ones just once
more. Okay, the ones we have left are Looking for LaToya, Mock Trial with Jay Reinhold, Invitation to Love, Prince O Palates, Jerry, and Las Días y las Noches de Monseñor Martínez.
Nice list.
Okay. And some of them may be on now.
Yes.
All right.
And okay. are any of them before Full House chronologically?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yes. And the two numbers that join us are 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's see. Laura, you go ahead.
All right. I think a couple of weeks ago, a caller called with a question about Robert Redford, that he'd only been nominated once, and what movie was he nominated for? And so that inspired me to find other actors who have only been nominated once for acting. They may have been nominated for something else. They may or may not have won. And I'm looking for the movie for which they were nominated. And I have eight of them. First one is Lauren Bacall. Number two is Robert Mitchum. Number three is Steve McQueen. Number four is Dennis Hopper. Number five is Ruby Dee. Number six is Harrison Ford. Seven is Sean Connery. And eight is Bill Murray. So all those people have been nominated once and only once for an acting award. Might be best or might be supporting. Lauren Bacall, Robert Mitchum, Steve McQueen, Dennis Hopper, Ruby Dee, Harrison Ford, Sean Connery, and Bill Murray. And let's let you get two each if you got them.
Well, I will take Bill Murray because I brought this up the other week that he was nominated for Lost in Translation, and he lost to the real-life Calculon of acting, Sean Penn.
Excellent. Should get two bells for that. 2003, Lost in Translation. Very good.
All right. Lauren Bacall, I think, was only nominated that one time for that Barbara Streisand. She played Barbara Streisand's mother in The Mirror Has Two Faces. Was that
excellent?
It?
Yeah, that is it. 1996.
As I believe my husband said, that nobody looked more pissed when they lost than Lauren Bacall.
Is that right? I don't know who she lost to.
He was very unhappy about it.
Yeah.
She didn't try to put a good face on it, in other words. Let's see. I'm sorry. Who else was on that list?
We have, Robert Mitchum, Steve McQueen, Dennis Hopper, Ruby Dee, Harrison Ford, and Sean Connery are the six.
Well, Sean Connery won, so yes. He must have won for the one time he was nominated, which was The Untouchables.
It was in 1987. Very good on that one.
Right.
So, okay. Harrison Ford, I don't think he was nominated for Working Girl. So I'm going to get, was he nominated for Regarding Henry?
He was not nominated for either of the films you mentioned.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. And then, all right, leave that out.
Okay.
All right.
So we're looking
just
for Steve.
Just give the ones out once more.
Steve McQueen, Robert Mitchum, Ruby Dee, Dennis Hopper, and Harrison Ford were nominated once and only once for acting awards. And what were they?
Was Steve McQueen the Sand Pebbles by any chance?
Yes. Very good. For Best Actor, 1968. All right. Okay.
Was Robert? Oh, I guess I already took my two guesses. Sorry.
Okay,
don't mind me.
We'll save them for the audience.
All right,
let you back in later. Very good.
And to join us here with a question or answer, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I should say that Kelly. Kelly by email said that All My Circus was Futurama. Okay, she got that.
Kelly is correct.
Or Invitation to Love is Twin Peaks. Is that right?
Also correct.
All right, nice. There we go.
And I believe the oldest Kelly. Show on my list. So nice job to Kelly.
Yes.
Invitation, I don't remember that. Oh. Was that the...
It was what's a soap opera.
Oh, okay. All right.
That they watched during the show?
Yes. Or cool. I think one of the agents watched the show.
Okay. All right. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So we're going to talk today about the golden age of San Francisco. What is the oldest restaurant in San Francisco? It's not in, I believe it's not currently.
Currently. Used to be, is it Sam's? It used to be Sam's.
Sam, well, I guess it's a beautiful restaurant, and I went there hundreds of times, but it's not Sam.
Okay.
The parcel was a key.
The Tadich Grill.
Yeah. Yes, 1849. Okay, let's listen about something.
It's still there.
If you've gone to the old...
Yeah, it's still there.
Say it again?
Let's go there for lunch.
Tadich Grill is still there.
Okay. I haven't been in San Francisco for a while. All right, does anybody go to the old... Poodle, dog, what kind of food did he serve? They definitely nothing. And what street were they on? The old poodle dog.
The old poodle dog. Did I ever go there?
Beautiful restaurant.
Was it French food?
Yes, French food. Yes. It was just a pleasure to be there. It was the atmosphere and the food was just great. Really, really beautiful. Never mind the
champagne. Was it downtown?
You're right, but Bush and very close to market. Downtown. Okay, there is several restaurants now because the time is short. I'm going to mention them. What about the Crown Room?
The Crown Room.
The Crown Room was at the Fairmont Hotel, wasn't it?
Yes, it's beautiful. And this is where I committed my biggest mistake ever in my life, got married. I'm just making a joke, but it's true. All right, one more. How about the... two restaurants closed right by the ocean in the last couple of few years. What are they?
Cliff House and the diner that was right up above the Cliff House. I can't think of the
beautiful,
name. Oh, Aliotto's. Joanne's is Aliotto's.
No,
Julius's
answer. It's Luis.
Oh, that's it.
Beautiful. Breakfast I ever had in my life. It just was a beautiful town. I think that San Francisco is no longer the city I used to love. Okay, very quickly, we're going to talk about astronomy. So the sun is fairly big. We knew that you can put 330,000 Earths inside it. But actually, the sun is a little baby compared to other stars. And one of the closest stars to us is 700 times bigger than the sun. Which one? It's about 500 light year away from us. Not the closest. No, the closest.
Ceres.
No, Ceres is actually not that. This is a giant one. 700 times as much.
Alpha Centauri.
Alpha Centauri is actually one of the closest, but Alpha Centauri is a fairly small star. It's a tiny star, much smaller than the sun. But let's say, because time is short again, it is Betelgeuse. And you know, when you talk about Betelgeuse, it's 700 times. It has to, first of all, Betelgeuse in
three
Arabic
times.
It means the house of the old man. And it is about to explode. And Betelgeuse explodes, it's going to be supernova, and we should be able to see it from Earth in the daytime. That is how serious it's called, you know. So it is really, really serious issue, and it's a consideration. The firework we saw last week with the corona from the sun would be tiny, tiny baby compared to what we'll see from a Betelgeuse go from the sun. One just last comment. Lori Bush is a very nice man. I love him. He said, I must read the Bible before I call your show. No, I don't.
No, that is Joshua who said that.
Oh, Joshua
said that,
I'm
not
sorry.
Lori.
Right. Well, let me tell him. Okay. For you, for everybody, for most everybody, the Bible is something you read for religion. For us, it is our culture. It is our culture. We get told the story about our, you know, grandparents, uncles, aunts, and all that stuff. And again, I like to bring the word Semitic. It refers to a group of language. And please fight hate. It has nothing to do with religion whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. No politics on this show, Ed. No. We're no politics, all right?
Yes. Well, we just like to make peace and love everybody. Religion should be love, not hate. Thank you. Thank you very much. Great
show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. And feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Sorry, I should go on with that and say that our questioners today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teachers at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right. Now I'm going to give you a couple questions, finally. And so according to a piece done by the Washington Post, using material from the U.S. Census, what two U.S. states most resemble America when you look at the breakdown of their populations? In other words, the most typical percentage of white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native Americans. What two states are most typical for that?
So only looking at race, not age.
Yeah,
or
just
gender.
For race.
Okay.
Just for race.
Well, that's a great question.
So according to a piece done by the Washington Post using the U.S. Census material, what two U.S. states most resemble America when you look at the breakdown of minorities, white and minorities in their population? So white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native Americans. And what two states are least typical in when you break down, look at the breakdown of that population?
I'm guessing Arizona.
Go ahead.
Oh, just that for least typical, maybe Arizona?
Not Arizona, no.
Okay.
For least, I would guess, I'm going to guess Montana or Wyoming. Well, give me a Montana.
No.
Okay. And most is interesting. I'll just take a whack. I'll say that for the most like America, how about Illinois?
Illinois is one. Yes.
All right.
Yep. Nice.
Home state. Go Illinois. Go Illini. Least. I would think that the least is going to be a very white state. That's what I was thinking for Montana and Arizona, right?
But no, not that.
Am I thinking in the wrong way? Thinking like that?
Well, in a sense, you are. Yeah. In a sense, you are.
Well, my other guess will also be for least, though. I'm going to take two least guesses and no most. I'll go with least for Hawaii.
Yes. Hawaii is one. Very good.
Nice.
Yeah. So when to just to clarify the question, maybe just a little bit. So according to the Washington Post, using the U.S. Census, what two U.S. states most resemble America when you look at the breakdown of in population of percentage of white, percentage of black, percentage of Hispanic, percentage of Asian, percentage of Native Americans? What states best represent that breakdown, in other words, of percentages? Lori got Illinois as one of the most typical of the of percentages of each of these populations. And there's we're still looking for the other one. And Kira got Hawaii as one that was least typical of this breakdown. So, okay.
Joanne is guessing Wyoming for the other
Wyoming
one.
Wyoming is not one. Okay. Wyoming is not one. All right. So second question. On the 2023 list of the 10 most trusted brands in America, what health product is number one? What is the only TV channel on the list? And I'm talking about the top 10. And what is the only food product on the list? So on the 2023 list of the 10 most trusted company brands in America, what health product is number one? What is the only TV channel on the list? And what is the only food product on the list? So I'll give you each one guess.
I am concerned that the most trusted TV channel will be Fox News based on people who answer polls.
No, it is not.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go for my food product. I'm going to go with oatmeal. I don't know if you want to spit Quaker oatmeal, but very.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for a brand name. So you can say Quaker, but it's not Quaker oatmeal.
Okay. But so you want a brand name with the product. All right.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the brand name and the product are inseparable.
Do we get one guess on each category or are we done?
No, just one guess altogether for now.
Okay. All right.
So once more, on the 2023 list, they don't have one for 2024 yet, of the 10 most trusted company brands in America, what health – so I'm just talking about the top 10. What health product is number one? What is the only TV channel on the list? And what is the only food product in the top 10? Now, the first question was, according to the Washington Post, did an article using the U.S. Census – what two U.S. states most resemble America when you look at their population's percentage of white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native Americans, which is, you know, the percentage you have in the United States? So what state best represents that? So we have Illinois. What's the other one? And what two states are least representative of that? And Kira got Hawaii. What is the other one on that list? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning.
Morning.
Here, okay. God, it had me going through all these brands. I didn't expect to think of that. So, but let's go back to my questions or move ahead. Today is the 80th anniversary of the end of what battle? In American history.
So it's 1944.
1944.
Yeah.
I say American history, of course, I'm talking World War II.
Yeah.
1944. This is 1944, where it's too late for the Battle of the Bulge. It's yeah. The too Battle of Berlin would have been going on now.
It's too early for D-Day.
And it's... No, it's too late for it's too early for D-Day. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but we're moving in that direction. It was part of the process of moving in that direction.
So it's a European front battle.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes, and we're moving in that direction by moving north.
Moving north. So,
like Gallipoli or anything?
No, it's World War One.
Gallipoli is not. Sorry, that's not what I meant to say. Now I don't know what I meant to say.
Mark and
we had to liberate Rome. What was right. the battle that liberated Rome? 80 years ago today.
Oh, is you mean Anzio? The invasion of Sicily and then, well, that was 43.
All right, so, you're making your way up the boot.
I don't know the name.
No, go ahead.
It's close to Rome. It's called the Battle of Monte Cassino.
Oh.
It doesn't get a lot of attention. There are no big generals associated with it. But anyway, the great victory to remember 80 years ago today. But now, okay, let me ask you this question. What is, and this also is as an anniversary today, what is the Ring of Fire?
There are many rings of
related.
I mean,
it's geological. It's
there's a group of volcanoes that form kind of a ring throughout, I believe, the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
And on either sides of it, is that
Japan is in it, yeah. and right. I think the Philippines is too.
You're dead right. It starts in Chile, goes up the coast there, and then under Alaska, and then back down, all the way down to New Zealand. And by the way, the length of it is equal to the circumference of Earth, so like 25,000 miles.
Wow.
And this chain of volcanoes. But the reason... Today, there's an anniversary related to it, because there's one of the volcanoes in America.
Yep. Is it Mount St. Helens?
That's it. The anniversary of Mount St. Helens. Another point on the Ring of Fire.
All right.
And the great Johnny Cash song too. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
Sure.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you if you have a question or answer for us. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Kira, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. I actually still had a couple mother questions from last week that I forgot to ask, so I'm just going to ask them.
Your leftover mother questions?
My leftover mother questions.
Tell your mothers.
It's three parts. Part one, what 1960s TV show included a character whose code name was Mother? Part two, what 2006 movie features a character whose code name, at least among the Soviets, was Mother? And part three, in the TV series Archer, what was the code name assigned to the title character by his mother, Mallory? So 1960s TV show included a character whose code name was Mother. The 2006 movie that features a character whose code name, at least among the Soviets, was Mother. And in Archer, what was the code name assigned to Archer by his mother, Mallory?
Was the one with the code name Mother, was that the Avengers?
It was the Avengers.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay.
Was that like their handler? Was that it?
Yeah, it was a big, burly English guy with a mustache, if I recall. They called him Mother.
2006 movie. I don't know the other two.
Just repeat the other two.
Sure. What 2006 movie features a character whose code name, at least among the Soviets, was Mother? And in the TV series Archer, what was the code name assigned to the title character by his mother, Mallory?
All right. Okay. Interesting. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Paul from Marin. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Okay. You may have seen in the news that Chevy retired the Chevy Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a question for you. What are now the top five current longest production run vehicles in the United States, sold in the United States.
So, what do these have to be American cars? In other words, American make cars?
No, just sold in the American market.
Sold in the American market.
And are you talking about a specific car like the Malibu or a brand like Ford?
Yes, it's the specific nameplate, for that model.
So is Ford Mustang old enough
to be bought? No.
Okay, so these are much older. And I feel like one of them, at least one of them, is a pickup truck or a van.
Yeah, they're like the Ram, like, the Ram van.
It is a van, not the first one. Sorry, it is a pickup, of course.
Is it the F-150?
That's not number one.
F-150?
Yes, that's number two. Can you tell me how long it's been in production?
Oh, golly. I can't. Is it 50s or it's before that?
Oh, much longer.
Okay, so 30s?
That's 74 years.
Wow. Okay.
So that's only number two. Can you name the other top five?
Do they still make the Town and Country? I know that was a long time.
That's a Town and Country. That's the Chevy Town and Country?
Yeah.
You're close to the number one. Okay.
And I think the Corvette might be one.
That is number five.
Well, okay. No kidding. No, that's great.
Yeah.
What year is that?
That's 60. Starts in 60, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's actually going on 68 years almost.
Okay, yeah.
That's actually tied with number five with the Mercedes sedan.
The Mercedes van, wow.
But we still have to do numbers one, three, and four.
All right, so what do we have so far? Let's think about this. So the Town and Country was not, you said no, or is that okay?
It's close. It's kind of like that. It's the same kind of car. Yeah.
I know Toyota has a model they've been making forever. I'm just trying to remember which one it is now.
Well, while you're thinking about that,
is it the Land Cruiser?
Yes, that is number four. Been in production for 70 years.
Right.
What about the Crown Vic?
Oh, that's a good idea. That's
no,
good.
No, no sedans, really.
Except no sedans left?
Oh, no sedans. Oh, all right.
Except the Mercedes.
And Kira got the truck, right?
Yeah, the F-150.
Ford F-Series, yes.
Is one of them a van?
That's number two.
Do we have a van yet?
No. And there is a van on the list.
So does VW still make its van?
That's correct. Yes, the VW van, or originally called the VW Transporter, and that's been in production for 71 years. Wow. But we're still missing number one.
Number one. Give us a hint.
So is it?
It's been in production for 80 years. And it's the kind of vehicle that you'd see in caravans with the president, all black window tints kind of thing.
So it's a limousine?
Well,
no.
Modern.
It's
modern
kind of
style
like a
that.
Cross between an RV and a limousine, sort of, isn't it? It's like a big.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. That would be the Chevy Suburban.
Oh, all right.
That has been in production for 80 years.
And it was called the Suburban 80 years ago?
Still, yes. 80 years ago, it was called the Suburban.
Wow, that's interesting, because there were hardly any suburbs back then in 1944. That's interesting.
So,
yeah.
A related transportation question. This one's much easier. State highway sign markers, the ones that are on the side of the road, okay? Not U.S. highway signs and not interstate highway signs, but the state highway roads, okay? Which state highway signs will show an outline of the state? There are many of them, so you could just take a guess.
Well, Washington State, I think.
No.
No?
Doesn't Oregon do that?
Yeah, it's Oregon. I think Oregon.
Oregon does not.
How about Arizona?
Arizona, yes, has a symbol of the state on the sign. Yes. Now that doesn't mean that the sign is shaped like the state.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, then Florida.
Florida, yes. As I said, there's quite a few. There's actually 15, so you could each take a wild guess at 2 or 3 or 4.
Well, wouldn't the shape of the state have to lend itself to making a decent sign out of it? In other words,
no, know, it's like a rectangular sign with the shape is drawn on it and then the numbers over it. At least that's what Florida is.
Right. Many of them will they're just a rectangular sign with an outline of the state on the sign.
All right.
And sometimes the number is within the outline of the state, sometimes not. Sometimes the outline is separate, kind of like you see a little symbol on license plates that way.
Okay. So is it, say, New Jersey, for instance, would that be one?
No, not New Jersey.
All right.
Does Pennsylvania do it?
Well, that sounds
not right. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has the keystone, but not the state symbol. That's the state symbol, but not the state image.
I remember.
How about Ohio, then?
Ohio, yes.
All right. We have
Indiana, three. Illinois.
The long list.
Neither Indiana nor Illinois.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll just be guessing.
Give us the other.
Yes,
give us the
other 12. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll send you the answers and others can call it in. But I have one other related question. Which state highway sign is not a rectangle?
What shape is it? Or is that giving it away?
That would be giving it away.
What about Utah? As like maybe they use a beehive. I honestly don't remember.
No. No. Anyone else? You've all seen it.
Joanna's guessing California.
Yeah.
That would be California, yes.
Way to
California
go.
California is the only state highway sign that is not a rectangle.
All right. Okay, good
job. Can you tell me what it's supposed to symbolize?
No.
California.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. It is originally symbolizing the spade that was used by the 49ers to dig gold.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. And as you know, one of the first state highways was U.S. Highway 40, was State Highway 49.
All right. Well,
all right,
thank
that's
you
all
much.
I got we for now.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. It can be your question. Feel free to do that. And area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's see. Patience is saying that suburbs began in the late 19th century to Lori's comment, I guess, about suburbs.
Thank you, Patience.
There we go.
I stand corrected.
And CM was wondering if most likely, in terms of my question about the breakdown of minorities and white and minorities in this country, most likely the entire country, Florida or New York, neither one. Least likely the entire country, Vermont, no, not Vermont. And Peter is wondering which one of Alfred Hitchcock's movies was his personal favorite. You want to guess on that?
Maybe The Birds, because he got to really torture Tippi Hedren.
I don't know. For some reason, Strangers on a Train came to mind, but I don't know if it's definitive.
Well, it's a movie that was made in California, or no. Largely made in California. Oh, I mean, outside the location of it was in California.
Santa Rosa, one in Santa Rosa, right?
That's right. Yes.
Oh, what is it? It's with Joseph Cotton and he strangles her. Oh, come on. Yeah.
Shadow of a Doubt.
Shadow of a Doubt.
Anyway, thank you for that, Peter. And let's see, Lori, if you have a quick question, go ahead.
Yeah, this is quick, I think. Completely different than my list question. In 1930, a professional club was formed in London, and they had an agreement that they would never rely on the following things: divine revelation, feminine intuition, mumbo jumbo, jiggery pokery, or the coincidence of an act of God. Who was in this group and what professional association did they have 1930, never rely on divine revelation, feminine intuition, mumbo jumbo, jiggery pokery, or coincidence of an act of God.
So I guess this is some sort of detectives club or police club.
You're in the right direction. Keep going. It is.
Is it like a skeptics club or something of that kind?
Not skeptics. Kira's closer with it. It was called the Detection Club. So what do you think they did for a living?
They were detectives. Is it a Sherlock? Is this a Sherlock Holmes related thing?
You know, it is. It was Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, G.K. Chesterton. And as detective story writers, mystery writers, they said they would never have any of those things, divine revelation, feminine intuition, and they kept to that. 1930, I thought that was pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, I'll ask another quick one since you got that one. In the movie Oppenheimer in 1945, there's a scene where they're celebrating Oppenheimer. There's a big crowd cheering him on. There's one glaring historical inaccuracy in the crowd scene. With their banners and their flags and their clothing. What was it?
Does it involve flags?
It does.
Okay. So which country is represented there that shouldn't be? Is it India, perhaps?
No.
Okay. Did they have too many stars on the flag? Or the wrong number of stars, I should say?
They had 50 stars on the flags. Yeah. Somebody bought the wrong one in 1945. We didn't have that. Yeah, they did not have the 48-star flag. Very good.
All right.
Okay. Very good.
And once more, the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered. Kira, start with you.
Okay, so I've given you the names of some fictional TV shows within real TV shows. I want you to tell me the title of the real TV show. The ones we have left are Looking for LaToya, Mock Trial with Jay Reinhold, Prince O'Palates, Jerry, and Las Dias y las Noches de Monsignor Martinez. Also, I'm looking for the 2006 movie that features a character whose code name, at least among the Soviets, was Mother. And in the TV series Archer, what was the code name assigned to the title character by his mother, Mallory?
I'm looking for famous actors who are nominated only once for acting in a movie for an Academy Award, either supporting or best category. And the ones we have left are Robert Mitchum, Ruby Dee, Dennis Hopper, and Harrison Ford. And that's all I have out there.
All right. According to the Washington Post, using the U.S. Census, what two states most represent America when you look at the typical breakdown of percentage of white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native American? So what state most perfectly represents that particular breakdown in terms of percentage of minorities and white in the United States? So I'm looking for the two states that best represent and the two states that least best represent that breakdown, that typical breakdown. So far we have Illinois as most. We're looking for another state there. And Hawaii as least, and we're looking for another state there.
How about Maine? For the least.
Not Maine. And on the 2023 list of the 10 most trusted company brands in America, what health product is number one? What is the only TV channel on that list of the 10 most trusted brands in America? And what is the only food product on that list? So leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there, it's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi, how are you?
Good. The reports of my being buried in the garden were greatly exaggerated.
There you go. Good, I'm glad.
This could be all AI.
Yes, we're back. So, yeah, we don't know that. Let's start with the single nominated actors. I've got Night of the Hunter for Robert Mitchum. Is that possible?
It's possible, but incorrect.
Oh, poo. All right, well, Sandra's got one.
What did I have?
Ruby Dee
was nominated for, I can't read my own writing, hold on. American Gangster, was that it?
That's correct. That's it. 2007.
I love that, you know, she was not
was a
young
surprise.
Woman. I love that.
She was not.
All right. And you had the health product?
Oh, hey, so I was wondering, this just dawned on me, Dina, and I'm a little scared of you. The most trusted health product Is that Band-Aid?
It is Band-Aid, yes. Oh, nice. Very good. Good job.
My head.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so let's see. The only other one I think is the racial breakdown, national. How about the state of Missouri for the most?
Well, no, it's not Missouri.
Okay, well, it was right next to Illinois, so that was my savvy guess there. All right. So
I will tell you that the other state is not near Illinois.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, then I have no idea. I will leave that to some other wiser human. I'm sorry, I got sniped on Mother the Avengers, one of my very all-time favorite things in the world. All right. So two really quick ones. I'm going to ignore Dana's prescription of rock and roll. I'm jumping right in. Oh. And then you are. So, who is the only person inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame who was not a performer?
What? There's only one?
Only one who was not a performer.
So, is it George Martin or somebody like that?
It is not.
Excellent guess.
Excellent guess.
So, may we ask what this person... I mean, they were not a performer, so were they a... producer?
Nope, they were centrally affiliated with a band, yet they were not performers on stage.
So they're more of in management or in production?
Nope, and nope.
Oh.
How does it make music?
What about, sorry?
How do you make music?
Yes. What is required to get a song on the air?
Right, so less, okay. I was thinking instrument maker, but I guess not.
Well, and not a songwriter, so somebody who's a
maybe,
promoter?
Maybe.
Songwriter, hey.
Okay, well, let's see. There's people like Jerry Goffin who wrote songs with Carole King who wasn't a performer, but I don't think you mean him.
I do not. No, and
definitely more rock and roll.
So it's not a DJ for, not a DJ, but like a radio disc jockey kind of thing.
No, and it's actually a local, it's a local person. Who left us a few years ago? But
how about Dick Clark?
No,
but it's a songwriter. Is what you're saying?
It's a songwriter. Right. Yes.
So a local person who was a songwriter
who didn't perform,
who did not who perform did not with the band, perform. Yet was
but and only wrote for one band.
Well, yep. Well,
at the time, only one. He wrote for himself, but that was. He did not perform. He certainly did not get any accolades for his personal performances.
If you think of your top 10 local bands.
Well, I'm thinking the Grateful Dead.
Stop right there.
Okay, so is it Robert Hunter?
It is Robert Hunter.
Forget about Lori.
In 1994. Yeah. He never appeared on stage with the band, and yet he was included with the band. In the Hall of Fame, isn't that sweet?
I thought that he performed. I thought he got on there like with a tambourine, but he never did. Huh? That's interesting.
Nope, okay. Not with band. And then one last quickie for me before I hand it over to Sandra.
No.
In which of his hit songs did Frank Sinatra insert the lyric "Doobie Doobie Doo"? Possibly ironically.
Strangers in the Night.
There you go. That was too easy.
Yeah.
No, that's too much time. I'll just wait for my question for next time.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Good to see you among the living.
Nice to be here. Bye.
Yes.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We've got a few minutes left in the show. We'd love to talk to you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. I'm trying to think how I should throw a question in here or not. I will save this for the following week if there's no traffic on it. What was the first color live action film made from a comic strip? What was the first color film live action made from a comic strip?
So you mean in Technicolor? That color film is supposed to... Okay.
Technicolor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty big budget.
Was it in the 40s or after that?
No, it was actually in the 1950s, believe it or not. What was the first color live-action film made from a comic strip? 1950s, actually, with a name cast.
Okay. Dead air here.
All right.
Kira, do you have anything?
No. And he says comic strip, not comic book, which is seems kind of telling to me.
I would say, honestly, probably both. It ran as a strip in the newspaper, but I'm sure they had comic books too. I'm not an authority on that at all. So
was there a Technicolor Tarzan? Am I in the right category?
Not that was too early to be one of the color Tarzan films.
Okay. Or Prince Valiant. How about Prince
Valiant? But Tarzan didn't start out as a comic strip. Tarzan was a comic strip later on.
And Prince Valiant, am I in the right?
Prince era? Valiant is the one, yes. All Prince right. Valiant. Robert Wagner.
Played Vince, James Prince Mason, Valiant.
Robert
nice.
Wagner, yes, right. Believe it or not. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Dusty in Richmond, and I have an answer. Archer's code name, I believe, is Princess. I believe he's named after his dog.
He was named after his dog, and you are so close. You've got some nobility in there, and it even ends in ESS, but you do not have the right name. You're so close, though.
That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Would it be Duchess then?
Duchess, yes. All right. So that was nice tag team effort.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen Archer, but that was a great hint.
And let's see. Trusted TV Network. We have CM is wondering if the Trusted TV Network is Hallmark. No, it's not Hallmark. The Trusted Food is Milk. No, it is not Milk. And Beavis and Butthead equals mock trial with Jake Reinhold. I don't think so. But
that's an excellent guess. It is incorrect, but I would watch that. I would watch that episode.
Okay.
How about the TV channel? How about PBS?
Not PBS. It's a highly dependable channel that we've all watched, but not for long periods of time, probably.
Oh, C-SPAN?
No, not C-SPAN.
Okay.
Is it a news channel or is it an entertainment channel?
It's a little bit of both, but mostly news.
Mostly news.
For most trusted food, what about Cheerios?
Cheerios is correct. Yes.
Right. Oh,
Cheerios.
I've been waiting to take that guess for like half an hour.
Okay, I'll go with the TV channel. How about CNN then?
Not CNN.
All right.
Hey, all right, let's take that call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I want to make a guess on the Dennis Hopper nominee. Was it for Easy Rider?
It was not for Easy Rider.
Was it for Blue Velvet?
It was not for Blue Velvet.
Oh, I was surprised. I thought it would be for Blue Velvet.
In fact, the role is nothing like either of those roles. It's much more mainstream. Supporting actor.
More mainstream than those two movies, you say?
In other words, the subject matter of those two movies is pretty out there. This is a sports movie of all things.
Oh right.
Okay.
I'm looking at the time.
What about Robert Mitchum and Thunder Road?
Not Thunder Road.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I can guess.
Thank you. Really good guesses.
All right. So since you said it was sports related, then I seem to recall he was nominated for Hoosiers.
He was. He was Gene Hackman's coaching assistant.
Yeah, he was the alcoholic father of one of the players, if I recall.
That is right. 1986. Okay. So we're still looking for Mitchum and Harrison Ford on that question.
And Steve McQueen.
Okay. And who? We got Steve McQueen.
Oh,
did we
my
get
bad.
Steve McQueen? I think we got
Steve McQueen. You got was Sand Pebbles.
Yeah, right. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning, Fran in San Francisco. Hi.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. I'm sure you know this. What is the new Jerry Seinfeld movie, the name of it?
Unfrosted.
Unfrosted. Yeah.
Yes, and it's about what?
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
The invention of the Pop-Tart.
Yes, Pop-Tarts. That's like, I think it was Post brand or something. Pop-Tarts, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
a current events question. The last number I heard on our state budget deficit, do you know the number?
No.
Big.
Oh, yeah. Big. I heard this on NPR, of course. I believe it's either $45 or $46 billion.
No.
Yes, and he's going to just have to mention we're going to get cuts in health and education and such things. Sorry to be a downer, but the show is an up for us, and thank you all.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, thank Fran. You very much.
Bye, Kara. Bye.
Bye.
Lori.
Bye.
And Dana. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Peter from Florida calling, but you know I'm from New Jersey, and I just wanted to add a quick question. If you're driving in New Jersey and you see a green sign with New Jersey, the shape of New Jersey on the sign, what is it leading you toward? It's like saying this many miles ahead or whatever.
I don't know.
Okay. Seems like a trick question.
No, it's an entrance ramp to the Garden State Parkway.
Okay. All right.
Makes sense.
A lot of people need that. A lot of out-of-towners, people who want to go to the shore coming from Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And that's the way it works. Because it's such a crossroads kind of state, and outsiders want to go to the Jersey Shore. Anyway,
thank you, Peter.
Enjoy.
All right, bye-bye. Michael is wondering if Robert Mitchum was nominated for the Sundowners.
No, he was not.
Okay, and Phil got the most trusted channel. Congratulations to you, Phil, and that is the Weather Channel.
Oh.
The Weather Channel. So smart. Very good.
Glad you I don't trust it.
That was smart.
Yeah, I get
all
it,
right.
But I don't trust it.
Did we go through all the calls here? I think we did. If we didn't, I apologize. But time to clean up now. So what do we have? Oh, I have one guess for you, Kira.
Yes.
So one of them is Arrested Development, and is that the one with the Jake?
Jay Reinhold. Yes, mock trial with Jay Reinhold, as opposed to pointing out that his name is Judge. Yes,
all
that
right.
is Arrested
there
Development.
There you go. Okay, so.
All right. I'm shocked that neither of you got Jerry. Okay. So the TV shows, Looking for LaToya was from Insecure. Principalities was Dear White People. Las Días y Las Noches de Monseñor Martínez is King of the Hill. And finally, Jerry, that's Seinfeld.
There's a show on Seinfeld?
They were making a Seinfeld-esque show on Seinfeld, and they called it Jerry. The 2006 movie that features a character whose code name, at least among the Soviets, was Mother, that is the Good Shepherd. That's what the Soviets called Matt Damon's character.
Okay.
And last guess is on the Harrison Ford or Robert Mitchum?
Air Force One.
No, Harrison Ford was Witness in 1985 for Best Actor, and Robert Mitchum was The Story of G.I. Joe. In 1945, and that's what I have. I'm done.
Okay, let's see. So according to the Washington Post, did I get all this? According to the Washington Post, U.S. Census, the two states that best represents the breakdown of white and minorities in the United States, Illinois and Connecticut. The least representative states for that sort of breakdown are Alaska and Hawaii. So, and the 2023 list of the 10 most trusted company brands in America, the health product is Band-Aid. The TV channel is the Weather Channel. And as Kira got, the food brand was Cheerios. So if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, Dabble Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday, or listen to you next Saturday at 10 a.m. Bye-bye.